WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas Governor Greg Abbott threatening to kick Democratic state lawmakers out of the legislature for leaving the state ahead of a vote on redistricting. The Republicans drawing up new maps mid-decade after President Trump said he wanted to see five more GOP seats picked up in Texas. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he'll do the same thing for Democrats in his state. New tariffs take effect today with fears about price hikes.
We've now heard warnings from a number of companies that customers would start paying higher prices. Procter & Gamble just last week raised its prices this month. Best Buy, Walmart, Dollar General, and Mattel have been talking about price increases, some echoing Walmart, which said the prices of imported items could go up, but they would keep prices, quote, as low as we can. They know that customers want to see lower prices.
ABC's Rebecca Jarvis. President Trump says he'll name a new Bureau of Labor Statistics chief after firing the old one following a disappointing report on jobs. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to become community scientists by contributing to the Game Bird Survey. According to a press release, the survey will be open through the end of the month and seeks to measure the reproductive status of game birds across the state. The data collected from the surveys is then used to help DNR officials make informed population management decisions for the birds. More information and a link to download the survey can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. Wisconsin residents will soon no longer need to pay state sales taxes on their electric and natural gas bills year-round under the new biennial budget. The state sales tax exemption had previously applied only from November to April when utility bills tend to be higher due to the winter weather. Under the new budget, the sales tax exemption will apply year-round and is estimated to save residents a combined nearly $180 million over the next 2 years. The sales tax will automatically be removed from energy bills beginning October 1st. Hayward area residents are being invited to the local National Night Out event this week. The event is sponsored by a number of community organizations like Tamarack Health and the American Birkebeiner Foundation and will take place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday night behind the Hayward Intermediate School on 5th Street. It will include a number of demonstrations from local law enforcement authorities, fire department crews, and other community agencies. There will also be a LifeLink helicopter landing as well as free bike helmets and food. Wildlife officials say an eaglet that was found in distress along Highway 63 near Mason in late July is recovering well at the Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital in Spooner. The Bayfield County Sheriff's Office says the injured bird was reported on July 23rd. Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital officials estimated the eagle was less than 4 months old when it arrived in critical condition from starvation and dehydration. They believe the eagle may have initially injured itself while learning to fly. They also believe it could have been infected by West Nile virus. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's been 60 years since the Milwaukee Braves played their final game at County Stadium and moved to Atlanta. 5 years later, the Seattle Pilots became the Milwaukee Brewers. Tonight, it's the Brewers and the Braves in Atlanta, the crew still with the best record in baseball after sweeping the Nationals over the weekend. They won again yesterday, 14-3. Manager Pat Murphy says it starts with a veteran like Christian Yelich leading the way.
It starts with Yelich when your top experienced offensive player is on base five times. That sets the tone for everyone else.
NFL, the Packers had some standout players on defense on family night, including big number 93 defensive lineman Nazir Stackhouse, who says he already knew about a half a dozen Packers players from his time in Georgia.
Just me knowing some of the guys on the team, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, John Fitzpatrick, Miko Harmon, Javon Buller, you know what I mean? Just me knowing those guys made me feel comfortable coming here.
That's Nazir Stackhouse with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner, Kaylin Bavink, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy Monday coming up for you. Mm-hmm. After the 9:30 news, Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, is going to be joining us for a little recap of the many, many, many things that are going on. The Voting Rights Act turned 60 this week. We're going to talk about that and what appear to be some efforts to change the Voting Rights Act. Also, we're going to talk about the cuts for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which announced last week that it will be shutting down now that the federal government has pulled funding, and talk about some of the ramifications that's going to have, especially for people who live in rural areas.
Yes. Yeah.
This is going to be impactful.
Yes.
In hour number two, we will lighten things up a little bit. We're going to go beyond the cheese with a Poppy Bakery in Milwaukee. Amy Gorski is the owner. She started as a little pop-up and then started doing some farmers markets. Yeah. And now she has this, she's only open on weekends in Milwaukee, but it's killing. It's killing it.
Is there a more Midwestern name than Amy Gorski?
Probably not.
Amy Gorski. She owns the bakery down on Turt Street, and the best popovers in the game.
Yeah, ever.
I just love them.
There's no comparison.
I love them.
We're gonna wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing today. It's the your worst nightmare edition, or your worst nightmare edition. So stay tuned for that. Did want to start off with this, though. The Department of Health and Humans, Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin has confirmed our first cases of measles in 2025. 9 cases of measles have been confirmed by the Department of Health Services and the Oconto County Public Health. This is from WISN.com. Sam Schmitz has the byline. All of those impacted were exposed to a common source after they traveled out of state. The DHS didn't say where they had traveled, and they are not releasing any other information about those because of HIPAA laws, which I understand. But we're going to see more of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see more of childhood diseases that had essentially been eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so much vaccine hesitation being supported by our federal head of the Department of Health and Human Services, Bob Jr.
Definitely not a doctor.
No, definitely not a doctor. And now we have some Republicans who apparently want to help this along so more of us can get measles. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner, Baylor Spears. Amid falling vaccination rates, GOP lawmakers now want Wisconsin to highlight exemptions. That's essentially ways to get out of giving your child vaccines. Yeah. Because a lot of schools require them.
Yeah.
So that all the kids don't get sick.
That seems like a basic, once again, like Bob Jr., not a doctor myself, I would say that vaccinating children when you're around other children and adults seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Kind of for the common good kind
yes.
of thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, that weird word we don't use anymore.
That old attitude we used to have. Co-authors of the bill, Representative Lindy Brill, Republican from Sheboygan Falls, and Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara from Appleton, also a Republican, say there's a lack of transparency around the exemptions that can create confusion and unnecessary barriers for parents and increase administrative burdens on schools when immunization documentation is incomplete or delayed. Can't you just say they want to opt out of vaccines? Let's let them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wisconsin law does require kids in elementary, middle, junior, or senior high schools, child care centers, or nursery schools to get vaccinated based on their grade or age. This schedule covers all the stuff we had growing up.
Yeah.
Mumps, yep. Measles, rubella, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus.
The stuff that, you know, a Republican, God, even just 10 years ago would have said, well, yeah, of course I'm going to get my kid vaccinated because that's just what you do.
It was a gift.
Yeah.
If you go back to the days of polio, and they came out with a polio vaccine, parents couldn't wait to get their kids that shot.
I mean, Jane, there are so many feelings right here. It's just like this profound sense of sadness, the arrogance too. It's just the pure, uncut arrogance of it all to say, I know better than doctors. And because I watched some person on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook.
Because those people are never wrong. Influencers are never wrong.
Or got an email from a guy who talked to a guy who knows someone who's pretty sure that their kid got a vaccination and now they have mumps-filled autism. Well, that's it. My kids are. It's just the absolute arrogance. And you know what? You don't want to vaccinate your. For one thing, I'm just really surprised that we still have a law. I'm really surprised at this point.
Well,
we still have a law
as of today.
And if we don't have one in 6 months, don't blame me. I'm just saying. I'm really surprised we still have a law in the books that requires children. And if you don't want your child to get vaccinated, then I feel bad because the consequences are in you. But also, why don't you just homeschool them then?
But then what if they go on a playground? I mean, are you going to homeschool them and just confine them to your yard? I guess you could. We have children who died in New Mexico whose parents did not get them vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they died from measles. Measles is a highly contagious disease that can spread from person to person through the air and stay in the air for 2 hours after the infected person coughs or sneezes. It is so contagious, if one person gets measles, up to 90% of the people around them can also become infected if they're not vaccinated. And the symptoms include runny nose, high fever, could be over 104. That's not good. Cough, watery eyes, pink eye, a rash. It can also cause serious health complications, including pneumonia, brain damage, deafness, and can also cause death.
On the live stream, because Cassandra is one of our regular commentators and also a nurse, she says, Rachel, I think it's, is it Rachel or Rochelle? I think it's Rachel, one of the Cabral Guevara. She is the Republican who co-authored this bill. She is a nurse practitioner. She is a nurse practitioner, and she is authoring this. I don't get it. I don't. Honestly, I'm at the point, Jane, where now when I hear these things, I no longer even have any sort of like witty retort or a bevy of information because it doesn't matter the information you have. They just do not care. They want to live their lives in the most illness-ridden freedoms they want.
And, freedom. And it's all about freedom.
And that's, I guess, the point of the whole, like, homeschooling is, like, if you want to be unvaccinated, okay. But then be away from other people then. You have a responsibility not to be around people if you are unvaccinated, because you will get sick and you can make other people sick. And it just doesn't make sense to me at all that none of this.
But they have the freedom to infect others.
Yeah.
Wisconsin does allow parents to get the requirement waived for vaccinations if they submit a written statement objecting, including health, religious, or personal conviction.
Well, that just covers everything then. All you have to say then is like, I don't like it. And you don't even have to, if it's health or religious or personal conviction, that doesn't seem very, the claim of it's very vague. There's a lot of problems with people trying to access. No, it isn't.
It doesn't seem that difficult.
It's either I can't do it because I have I can't do this because of the Lord, or I can't do this because I just don't feel like it.
I don't want to be chipped.
I don't know how less vague you can get in this matter.
The bill would not change current requirements for vaccines. The bill would require schools, child care centers, and nursery schools to create a process to give a vaccine waiver form with every health-related form it requires before a student can be enrolled. So they just want to make sure that it's that much easier for parents to opt out of getting their kids vaccinated.
We talk about this a lot on this show, and I think it's never been more important because especially at the state level, the local level, all politics are local. But if you don't like this, if this bothers you, if this makes you uneasy, if you are, I don't care if you're a parent or not. This just, because if your kid, if we're out in the world, we're all together, it doesn't matter if you have kids or not. But go to myvote.wi.gov, put in your information, look, and they don't have to represent you, by the way, for you to call them. Call the co-sponsors of this bill and tell them what you think. And as Cassandra also put it, and this really makes me nervous, Cabrera is a primary care provider in the Fox Valley.
Is she just advising her patients not to get vaccinated?
I don't know. So yeah, go to myvote.wi.gov and put in your information, find out who represents you, and call them up as well, because it's important for you to have your voice heard on these matters.
Two doses of the measles vaccine are 97% effective at preventing it.
See, Jane, it's about that 3%.
That's what it is.
That's that 3% that causes all that.
If you would like to find out more about the measles vaccine, the DHS does have a measles webpage. We will include the articles that we're referencing in our show notes that you can find at civicmedia.us, C-I-V-I-C, civicmedia.us. Again, now we have 9 confirmed cases of measles in Wisconsin in 2025.
Are you happy? Does that make you happy? Is that what you wanted?
Herd immunity.
Apparently. Yep. That's
what we're shooting for.
Yep.
When we return, I went grocery shopping over the weekend. And the receipt I got was wrong. It was miscalculated.
Oh, okay.
So I told the cashier I want a new cashier.
You did?
Yeah. All the details coming up.
I'm just finding this out right now.
It's because it's a joke.
Oh.
Stay with us. Oh. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the vast, statewide, global, on the app. Civic Media, you get it now?
I just got it.
Thanks. I'm an idiot. Radio Network, stay with us.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says. Jane.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, joining us after the 9:30 news. And want to give you a reminder, we got baseball later on today. You're pretty happy, aren't you? It was kind of a good weekend.
Fourth sweep in a month.
And boy, were they hot at the bats.
Oh, yeah. They have the best record in baseball again.
Right, that was something. Brewers at the Braves tonight. Our broadcast starts at 5:40. You cannot listen on the stream, but you can listen on terrestrial radio. So check it out on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine, Kenosha, WCQM at Park Falls. Hello, Park Falls.
Hey, Park Falls.
And our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH in Hayward. The crew at the Braves tonight. Our broadcast starts at 5:40.
I forgot to mention this last week. The Friday game, I believe, was on Apple TV Plus, and if you get it, I believe in certain parts of Wisconsin, they still do blackouts, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
So Civic Media is a great alternative for getting those Brewers games. Listen to them. You know, if you were within the range of one of those stations, kicking back on the porch, listening to a game on the radio, there's really fewer things that are better. But yeah, it's a great alternative if you can't get it on your TV, which I know is, with all the access to baseball on TV, they still have blackout rules, and it's still very, very infuriating.
And yeah, it annoys numerous people.
Yeah.
Yes. So this happened on Friday, and it might have just, you know, might have missed it. There's lots of things that happen. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump on Friday fired the head of the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, yeah. Erica McEnterfer. and almost the entire Senate supporting her to lead the agency in 2024. The widely respected economist was confirmed on a bipartisan 86-8 vote in the Senate.
Well, that's where you lost me, is widely respected economist. That's where her first problem is.
Because she was widely respected.
And an economist.
Yeah. Well, the revisions to the jobs numbers came out on Friday, and Donald Trump said they're rigged and he didn't like them, so he fired her. This is what we do in North Korea. When you don't like the news, you fire the messenger, kill the messenger.
Yeah. Well, you make it eventually so you don't even report that news out of fear of being fired, jailed, deported, worse.
No, you adjust the news. Yeah. To show the administration what it wants.
Yes.
This was in Project 2025 when they talked about science.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the result we want. You come up with how we get there.
Yes.
And that's what they're doing now with the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Jane, how easy is it for the director of the BLS to go in there and tinker with numbers and go
and rig them?
Yeah, take a wax pencil and be like, here we go, there we go. Take them and do all that stuff. How easy is it?
Let's hear from the former commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Bill Beach, on CNN. Calvin, play that clip, please.
Can you explain to us, the president said that the BLS commissioner rigged these numbers.
Yeah.
What do you think?
There's no way for that to happen.
Mm.
The commissioner doesn't do anything to collect the numbers.
Huh.
The commissioner doesn't see the numbers until Wednesday before they're published. By the time the commissioner sees the numbers, they're all prepared. They're locked into the computer system. The only thing the commissioner does on Wednesday is to kind of do the edits on the text. So there's no hands-on at all for the commissioner. I was commissioner, and I was sometimes locked out of the process of actually, you know, where the people were working in the building.
Why should we trust
him? So there's
him?
No way for doing that. What I think really upset the president on Friday were the revisions to May and June. Big revisions.
Mm.
But that's because, like every time we publish on Friday,
happens.
There are revisions to the previous 2 months. This
Always.
Is a survey. And a survey has sample returns. You know, people have done surveys. You know, you answer your phone.
It's basically like a poll.
Yeah, it's like a poll.
Okay.
Not everybody in the country is asked the question, are you working? Are you looking for work? Just a handful. And businesses, about 600,000 businesses. Well, they don't all get their, you know, their returns in on time. I would like them all to come in on time.
But they don't.
BLS keeps the door open for 2 more months to get more information. So what you saw on Friday was the effect of trying to do a better job getting more information.
That is the former head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Bill Beach, on CNN explaining how the head of the BLS, there's no way for her to rig numbers. Sorry, President Trump, the numbers weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a fact.
And like every other president before you who's had these numbers be published, you just have to deal with it and do better. And
no, you fire her. You fire her and you put in a loyalist who will give you the answers that you want. That's why I said, yes, I went to the grocery store over the weekend. And after I got my receipt and I looked at it and I told the cashier, this is rigged. I want you fired. And then they laughed at me and threw me out of the store. But that's my life.
See, I wouldn't have thought it was real had you delivered that the first time. When you did it before, I was like, what? Wait a minute. You didn't say anything about this. Tell me more how this works because I have no idea. I thought computers did this stuff. But yeah, I'm going to throw, you're going to hear this from me a lot more going into the future is MAGA supporters make this make sense. Why is this a good thing? Why does this make sense? Why is this?
Because it was all rigged.
How does this make America better? How does it make it great? How is it rigged? Show your work. Show me the science. I want to see it because right now, if we're just firing people who disagree with your leader, then that's not democracy at all. And you cannot redefine that because, sorry, that's not how words work.
It almost feels that some people really aren't fans of democracy.
No.
We have news coming up next. When we come back, Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to the annual Farm Technology Days event this week. The yearly event gives residents a chance to see some of the latest developments in the agricultural industry, including new technology and research. The DNR will also have their own tent, where officials will share information on conservation efforts, management practices, and offer free nitrate screenings for private well owners. This year's Farm Technology Days event will take place from Tuesday to Thursday in Waupaca County. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found the participation rate for apprenticeship programs is at a record high. According to the report, over 17,000 people participated in the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development's Registered Apprenticeship Program in 2024. The number of kids in the state participating in apprenticeship programs has also more than doubled over the last few years, from 5,100 in 2019 to well over 11,000 this year. The programs aim to address workforce shortages in fields like construction and healthcare. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting area residents out for their annual Family Fun Day at the Brule State Fish Hatchery this week. According to a press release, the event will take place on Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. and features a variety of fun family activities like hatchery tours, demonstrations, youth archery lessons, and catch-and-release fishing. More information on the event is available on the Department of Natural Resources website, and anyone over the age of 16 who attends will need to bring a valid Wisconsin fishing license. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert is warning residents that the city's budget deficit has now grown to over $7 million. In a social media post, Mayor Reinert said the budget deficit has grown by $1.3 million from the spring to a total of $7.2 million. Officials say increased wages for city employees has been a large part of the growing deficit, but that the increased wages are necessary to attract and retain talent for long-term growth. Mayor Reinert suggested more partnerships with local communities and businesses to increase revenue. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pamela Anderson has been married 5 times. Once to Tommy Lee, once to Robbie Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, twice to a professional poker player, and only one time to some guy named Dan. She must love marriage. One of the few men she did not marry was former Superman actor Dean Cain. Last week, Cain said he and Anderson's relationship fizzled for one reason. I know what you're thinking. It's because she was too busy getting married to other men. But no. But Cain says that's not why. He says things didn't last because he was never into life in the fast lane, and Anderson was. That, along with the fact that she got married every other week, was probably a hindrance. Cain did have a lot of good things to say about Anderson. Pamela Anderson has revived her career and has gotten serious about the craft of acting. She received rave reviews for Showgirl and currently stars in The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. They were, quote, caught, end quote, on the set of The Tonight Show making out. Yes, the two are dating, unless they've already married by the time of this airing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up an hour from now, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up a little bit, get away from the news, take a break. We're going to pivot to something that's happening in, above my garage door. I have a bird stuck in a birdhouse. That's a hole. So we're going to talk about wildlife assistance for Audio Sorbet today. If you have any tips on how I can get this stuck baby bird out of this birdhouse, that would be great. We will talk about other animal rescues coming up after the 10:30 news in Audio Sorbet. Right now, though, we're going to talk about important things. Like Sholly Pittman is Civic Media's news director, and she joins us now every Monday. Good morning, Sholly. How you doing?
Good morning. Hey, wildlife rescue is important, so I look forward to hearing it.
It kept me awake until 1 o'clock this morning. I couldn't stop thinking about that bird. It's driving me nuts. So that's coming up next hour, but we want to talk about, there are always things that happen on Fridays. We get off the air at 11 o'clock, and it's like everything breaks once we leave the air. But something that kind of got skipped over among all the other late-breaking Friday news was Susan Crawford is now Justice Crawford.
Absolutely. Well, this one we knew was coming. This right. was scheduled. We like when that happens in the news business. We can plan around it. So Susan Crawford, after being elected in April, is now Supreme Court Justice. She's taken her seat on the bench for a 10-year term, and she was sworn in at the Capitol Rotunda on Friday. Radio listeners can't see us, but I have this program schedule right here. I held on to it.
Very nice.
And it was a celebration, the very crowded rotunda. She was presented the robe by her family, which was very sweet. And she delivered an address. And you can find more about what she said, you know, on civicmedia.us. But it's a continuation of the Supreme Court kind of liberal majority. It further bolsters it. And 6 out of the 7 Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin are women.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And for me personally, it's a fun little family connection because I found out this weekend that now Justice Susan Crawford was a partner, an associate at Pines Bach, which is a law firm in Madison that I believe my cousin is a founding partner, if not a partner at. So I just saw that. They wished her well and good luck. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's so cool. It just makes sense that cool people hang out because the lawyer box in my family are amazing. And then there's the radio box down here. It's just like, we don't talk about him.
It's a lesser
branch
of the family, a lesser Bach of the family, as it were. This guy, it's interesting because this kind of goes along with new FEC filings regarding Elon Musk. And Elon, of course, famously poured millions and millions and millions of dollars into the Supreme Court race. So what's up with this new filing?
Yeah, this came, I think, a day before or the same day as her investiture, as it's called. But was politics was on this, of course, and they found that Elon Musk's PAC spent more than $27 million on petition incentives this spring. Now, those filings don't say that PAC spent it in Wisconsin on this race, but the dates align with the Supreme Court race, and our listeners will well remember Elon Musk coming to Wisconsin, putting a cheese head on in Green Bay, and handing over these, you know, checks and all the things that had to change. He initially announced something that didn't seem entirely legal, so he had to change it to sign a petition against activist judges, and that promised $100 to folks who promised to vote against that. And then we had those sweepstakes. So that brought legal challenges even at the time. Attorney General Josh Call filed an injunction to a lawsuit asking for an injunction with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who denied it and didn't say why. But there is another another lawsuit challenging earlier this year. That was filed by another progressive legal group, Greg, Law Forward, which filed that in Dane County Circuit Court. And just to make your brain spin, right, Dane County Court was where Susan Crawford served.
Right, right.
I feel like now as you play the X-File theme song, it all connects, man.
It all connects. It all connects. And Greg, that's you really are connected. I had no idea. Thanks for sharing that. I also want to share that Susan Crawford was chief legal counsel under Jim Doyle, and he spoke, and it's been a while since I've seen him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. He kind of, when he was done, he said goodbye. While you said that name, I had to be like, oh, yeah, that governor.
He was out of the woodwork. He spoke and he gave some of the main remarks. So did Chief Justice and former Chief Justice Anne Walsh Bradley. She had a celebration in June in the exact same place in the Capitol Rotunda. And I think they pulled out the same like screen that they used on Friday, right in the back. So that we also covered that. And that was, you know, she delivered a pretty long and lengthy speech just talking about the representation of women on the court and the role of judges and justices in a time of kind of deep political division, which is something that Susan Crawford also spoke to in her remarks.
I think former Justice Anne Walsh Bradley will have an interesting book coming out one day. That's just my speculation. I think she would have some interesting stories to tell about her time on the court.
And this is a question in the moment. I don't know if someone can find this out. Is there another state Supreme Court in America that has more of a representation of women on the bench than Wisconsin? I think we might be the one.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I apologize. I should have prompted everyone else, but it popped in my head when you said that. And I was just like, that feels like that's pretty important that there are six of the seven justices are women. I mean, that's cool. Wow, what a grand statement to make. But yeah.
Other states also have different selection criteria for other state Supreme Court justices, so it gets complicated.
It all works differently. I do find it interesting, though, that these cases against Elon are still going on. I have never understood how what he did was considered legal. In any kind of business, if you have a raffle or a sweepstakes or anything, there are all kinds of things that govern how you do that in order to keep it legit. Mm-hmm. And that is remarkable to me. That he's just, it's like, yeah, well, here's $1 million. Yeah. It's all fine. Go ahead.
And as I said, I always thought that it's he's Elon Musk. He's probably got, you know, 40,000 attorneys on retainer, and they probably went through all the things that here's what you can do, cannot say, not say.
Here, try this.
So, yeah. All
right. Civic Media's news director, Shelley Pittman, is our guest, and we're just doing a little recap of things going on in the news that we might all have missed. The Voting Rights Act turned 60 this week, Shelley. What was the goal of the Voting Rights Act? What did it do?
Yeah, that's a great question. It turns 60 on Wednesday, and it was signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1965, and the goal was to end racial discrimination in voting, especially in the South. It banned things like literacy tests and voter suppression tactics, and it gave the federal government the power to come in to oversee elections in states when some things might be happening. So, you know, I thought it was interesting when we're talking about voting and voting access that this law is 60 years old. Now it's taken a beating, right? It has been renewed and amended along the way, but it was weakened by a 2013 Supreme Court decision. That's Shelby County v. Holder. And so as we're continuing to talk about things in 2025 related to voter access, voter ID, and how our elections are administrated and who benefits, I thought that was a little known or I didn't know that. I was looking at my planning calendar and I was like, oh, wow, it turned 60. Kudos to the League of Women Voters, who will have a celebration at the state capitol this Wednesday, for thinking ahead and planning that.
And by the way, a League of Women Voters is a great organization. If you are ever thinking, what can I do? I'm a blue, you know, I'm a blue dot, or even a red dot, because League of Women Voters is a bipartisan organization. If you would like to get involved in some way, they'd be a good place to start, at least to talk to them.
And one thing that's great about the League of Women Voters is that they provide great explanations, especially on ballot measures. They have a toolkit on their website that shows you exactly what the language is, what it breaks down to. And as you said, this is nonpartisan. This is a group that just seeks to expand democracy and understanding. So, yeah, actually, I didn't know that, Charlie. That's a great thing. I think I'll reach out to Deb Cronmiller and see if she wants to come on to talk about that celebration, because I think it's important to celebrate. What a wonderful thing to celebrate. That's totally in danger, in my opinion.
Well, and it is still under threat. The Voting Rights Act is they're still trying to chip away at it and say that, you know, we no longer need we no longer need this.
Yeah.
Is the claim that everything in our system works just perfectly, so we don't need this anymore. We're going to continue this on the other side, Shally, but let's talk a little bit about the cuts for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yes, this is something you missed last Friday. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting says it's shutting down following a vote in Congress to defund it. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting funds 1,500 radio and TV stations across the country, which are mostly which are nonprofit and non-commercial. It's public radio. It's community radio. And I'll say this on the other side, but this is something I have a deep connection to.
Absolutely.
We sort of saw coming, and the impacts are manifold.
Especially, this is going to have a widespread impact, and I think especially in some of Wisconsin's more rural communities, and I don't think people appreciate just what is coming down the pike. So we're going to continue this conversation with Civic Media's Shally Pittman. She is our news director, and we will be right back, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream.
Hi, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, every Friday during the summer, free ticket Fridays here at Civic Media. All you have to do is download the Civic Media app, which is absolutely free. Go to wherever you get your apps and look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. Pick your favorite station, W-A-U-K, perhaps.
I like that.
I like that one. And then you can call and text directly. You can leave a voice note directly from the app. And that is how you're going to enter the keyword then on Free Ticket Fridays. Pat Kreitlow starts off with a keyword from 6 to 9. We have a different one from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman then from 11 to 2. Todd 2 to 4. Maggie 4 to 6. All kinds of chances. Free Ticket Fridays. Playing for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers. I understand the boys are doing somewhat well lately. A 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats.
Those are comfy. Those are cushy.
They're cushy, they're comfy, and they're hot right now.
Yes, they are the hottest team in baseball, the best league, the best record in the league, period. Take that, the Dodgers. And yeah, it's very exciting. It's always exciting to be a Brewers fan, but sometimes it's more excitement happy. Other times it's anxiety.
That too. But anyway, the whole point is download the Civic Media app so you are ready when we come to Friday for Free Ticket Fridays. If you're just joining us, Shelley Pittman is our guest. She's the news director here at Civic Media. We're just doing a little recap of some of the news over the weekend you may have missed. Before we went to break, we were talking about the end of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is going to have a much wider impact, I think, Shelley, than people realize. You worked in public radio for a long time.
Yes. Well, I worked in community radio, which is sort of public radio, but also its own sort of
animal.
Different thing. Animal, right. But non-commercial broadcasting. And I worked at WORT, which does get funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So this is one thing that I am not maybe objective on. And it's also not something that Civic Media is objective on. We put out a press release opposing these cuts. You might have seen that or you might have not, but we said that we stand against funding cuts to public broadcasting. So just those disclaimers out there. But the CPB is the single greatest source of funding for not only National Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Radio, but also for independent broadcasters, rural broadcasters, community radio, including those in Wisconsin. So WORT, about 12% of their budget comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I was listening to an interview with the station manager at WOJB, the Lakota Ray station in the Northwoods, and their station manager told WORT that they will need about $200,000 to stay on the air in the face of those cuts.
That's a lot of money when you're up in the Northwoods. It is.
When you're a non-commercial broadcaster, yeah. Absolutely. And that carries with it restrictions, by the way. Non-commercial broadcasters cannot air ads for revenue. They can air something different called underwriting. There are many, many, many legal restrictions for what you can say in underwriting versus advertising. But it also there are a lot of humps. There are a lot of hoops to jump through when you're applying for a CPB grant. You have to file grant reports on what you're doing. You have to do so many outreach activities. You have to take, which is good, anti-discrimination and anti-harassment training. There are lots of requirements to obtaining CPB funding, and that's going away.
Well, this brings me to a question, and I posted something on social media about this, and someone came back at me and said that this is the result of a bad business model, that they did not adapt early platforms, and that they could go to for profit instead of being. I don't think he understands what Corporation for Public Broadcasting actually means. I think he thinks of it as a legit traditional business model, when really it's something that the government set up as a way of funding these public stations. And I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't saying like, well, you're wrong. I feel like this is just a matter of because people have broken down. It's pennies out of our pocket per person funding these stations. And I just want to make sure that I am not incorrect in my assumption that this isn't about bad business. This is about the fact that Donald Trump called it woke, liberal, radicalized, and it finally gave them the push they've been trying to cut for years.
Well, that evil Sesame Street, you know.
Well, if I can jump in, I hear where the listener is coming from, right? And in many ways, radio stations, community public radio stations have adapted. However, there has been this narrative that they do not represent the full diversity of the ideological sphere. And in my time in public and commercial non-commercial radio, I have not found that to be true, mm-hmm. right? Everyone is invited on the airwaves, especially at community radio. We are open. WORT is open to everyone to volunteer. It's also one of those things where it's responsible for those vital services like EAS, emergency
Absolutely.
Alerts,
yep.
that are the backbone for the rest of broadcasting. So there's that. This was also outlined in Project 2025, and mm-hmm. we also knew that this was coming. And if we had more time, we'd get into that section that says remove CPB funding and also revoke the non-commercial status of stations.
Charlie Pittman is Civic Media's news director. Go to our website, civicmedia.us. Click on news. We have a great, great news department headquartered all over the state. Charlie, thank you so much. We will see you next Monday. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Some of the Democratic lawmakers who've left Texas to avoid a vote on a mid-decade redistricting are now in Illinois, and some are in New York, fighting the move that will give the Republicans likely five new seats in Texas. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has more on why.
People are basically disgusted. They're disgusted with this trampling of their basic human rights, rights that we've always cherished and fought for in this country. And that is precisely why New York has a strong interest in what is occurring almost across the country in Texas.
Governor Greg Abbott threatening to kick the Democrats out of the legislature if they don't return to Texas by this afternoon. Another round of Trump tariffs taking effect later this week. The new taxes kicking in for about 60 countries. Prices expected to rise as a result. U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff expected to be in Moscow this week for talks on ending the war in Ukraine. Last week he was in Gaza, where humanitarian groups say continuing to block aid will result in famine. This is ABC News.